Morning. Today's daf in Tamuz Lamed Daled. The last daf in the Masechta, we are in Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We are just a little bit short of the Mishnah. One little piece to do in order to finish the sugya. The sugya yesterday we did was Hamad of Aracha. The sugya of Hamad of Aracha means that when you makdish an animal, so under certain circumstances, in order to be poed to the animal, if the animal is in fact in a position to be redeemable, but there has to be one condition that's met, and the animal has to stand on its own. The animal standing on its own meaning the animal has to be alive. I can't redeem it after it's dead. After it's dead, it cannot stand on its own. So you no longer have the ability to be ma'amid. You can't stand it up. So therefore, there is no haracha. There's no appraisal and assessment in terms of what the value is. And you cannot redeem him. Or you cannot redeem the animal after the animal has died. That's the part that's clear. Where is the part that's not clear? What requires hamad of haracha? Which one of the animals that belongs to Hekdesh has this demand, has this requirement of hamad of haracha? So if you remember yesterday, it's a machlokas. Amongst the Tanaim, there are three opinions amongst the Tanaim. The opinion of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon and Tan de Beilevi. Tan de Beilevi is not presented to us in the Mishnah. Rather, it comes to us via Braisa. But there are three opinions amongst the Tanaim. Making the matter somewhat more complicated, within the position of the Chachamim, a machlokas amoraim. Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, exactly what the position of the Chachamim is. What did we learn yesterday? According to Rav Yochanan, according to the Chachamim, whether the animal belonged to the category of Kachim Mizbech or it belonged to the category of Kachim Bedekabayis, there is a requirement of Hamada Vaharacha. According to Reish Lakish, according to the Chachamim, Kachim Bedekabayis was included in Hamada Vaharacha, Kachim Mizbech is not included in Hamada Vaharacha. Both according to Abaye and, sorry, I didn't mean Abaye. Both according to Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, they both agree to what Reb Shimon's position is. Reb Shimon's position was clearly articulated back in the Mishnah, and that is that according to Reb Shimon, the only requirement of Hamada Varacha is only by Kachim Mizbech, not by Kachim Bedekabayis. And finally, the position of Tan de Beilevi. Tan de Beilevi says that under all circumstances, one there is a requirement of Hamada Varacha, both by Kachim Mizbech and by Kachim Bedekabayis, and he goes even further. And even in the case where the animal's mum preceded its hektish. In a case where the animal had a blemish and then you were makdish the animal. So as we discussed yesterday, you can make a very good argument that that animal's hektish is no different than being makdish a table or a stone or a piece of wood, considering the fact that it's a ba mum. And from the point of origination, it was disqualified to be used on the mizbeach. So therefore, it's like being makdish something which is inanimate. And there is no requirement of Hamada Varacha. And as we discussed yesterday, both according to the Chachamim, both versions, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and according to Rabbi Shimon, they both agree that in the case where the mum precedes the Hekdesh, there is no requirement of Hamada Varacha. Tan de Beilevi goes even one step further. According to Tan de Beilevi, even such a scenario, there would be a requirement of Hamada Varacha. Okay. That's it. That was a summary of the positions that we saw yesterday. The Gemara yesterday was a little bit more complex because the Gemara went through a number of Braisos and Mishnayos that spoke to whether Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish's understanding of the Chachamim is in fact more defensible. We are continuing right where we left off yesterday. The Amar Le Rav Papa Le Abaye. So you can find us on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, about a third of the way down. It's the first words in the line. Amar Le Rav Papa Le Abaye V'Amar Le Rav Le Rav Yochanan Demukin Labe Ba'mum Ikaro. So, v'kulei amasvir luhu debamum ikaru delo havi b'chol hamada v'aracha. We said just moments earlier that if the animal had a blemish beforehand, so according to everybody, meaning, what I say everybody, to the exclusion of Tan de Beilevi, but according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, within the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, there is no requirement of hamada v'aracha v'lo v'hatanan. The Gemara says, I'm not sure if you're right about that. Let's consider now the following Mishnah. This Mishnah we're about to see together is back in Bechoros and Daf Yudalad, and we also saw it even further back in Chul and Daf Kuf Lamed. So this Mishnah is a very basic Mishnah. It's fundamental towards the idea of animals that belonged to Hekdesh and then were subsequently redeemed. The Mishnah reads, Kol HaKadashim Shekadamum Kavu La Hekdesham. If we have anything that belongs to Hekdesh, we're talking here about animals, where its permanent blemish preceded its Kedusha. So under those circumstances, Niftu, and it was redeemed. Now, we've discussed extensively throughout Shas the topic of Psulei HaMukdashim, an animal that was a carbon, got a blemish, and then was redeemed. This is not describing the scenario of Psulei HaMukdashim. Why? Because Psulei HaMukdashim is when it has a Kedusha Saguf. It has an inherent Kedusha. Over here, we're talking about an animal that had a blemish prior to the Kedusha. which means that when you were makdish it, it was only muktash lebedek habayis. Its value was kadosh, the animal itself was not kadosh. Therefore, when you redeem it, what you're doing is it's a total removal, a total extraction of the kedusha. By Psula HaMukdashim, the key point over there is that even after you redeem an animal that once was a karban, but it still has residual kedusha. That's generally true by Psula HaMukdashim. Over here, however, when the mum precedes the kedusha, so therefore it only has value kedusha. It doesn't have intrinsic kedusha, and therefore when you redeem it, the full removal of the kedusha. With all that under consideration, so now we're going to understand every single point we're going to make. Number one, chayev b'chora. So, if it subsequently were to have a firstborn child, it would be chayev b'chora. We say that in a offspring of a karban, even psule hamukdashim cannot be a b'chora because it has kedusha. An ein kedusha chal al kedusha. That's normally what we say. Over here, however, exception. It's not an exception. Let's say it even better. It's that once you redeem it, we're talking about where it's mum preceded kedusha, so once you redeem it, the kedusha is totally gone. Okay, so chayev mebechor is chayev in the mitzvah bechor matanos, and also you have to give zol chayev keva over to a kohen. V'yotzen lechulin ligazus v'le'aved. Once you redeem it, so there's no iser of giza and avoda. And again, it's not psulei mukdashim. When you redeem it, the kedusha is totally gone. V'ladim v'chalban aser. Subsequently, its offspring and its milk is going to be permitted. That's not true by psulei mukdashim. Lacher pidyonam. Now, if I shecht it outside the Azara, and even if I shecht it outside the Azara before redemption, where it's Kadosh, and so aren't I a violation of Shechut Echutz? And of course the answer is no, because it's not Kedusha Saguf, it's not intrinsically Kadosh. The Isser of Shechut Echutz is only limited to Karban. This is not a Karban, and so therefore shechting outside is going to be exempt. Veinos and Tamura, and also it does not replicate, it cannot be the primary Karban source to replicate and to produce a tamura. Because again, it's not kedusha saguf, it's only kedusha damim. V'imesu yiftu. Now, if it dies, so what do you do? So you redeem it. Okay. And that's the whole reason why we brought it over here, for this last line of this Mishnah. That if it dies, so you redeem it. Now, we are clearly talking about a case over here where it had kedushas bedek habayis. And on top of that, we're also being super clear that where the mum came before it was consecrated as hekdesh. With that in mind, so we're talking about a scenario in which it was first blemished, then mukdash, and then redeemed. And if it dies, It was first mum, then hektesh, and then it died. And under those circumstances, it says over here, yipadu, it could redeem it. Now, so far so good. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Zu Divrei. Rabbi Shimon, this Mishnah represents the position of Rabbi Shimon. Damer kachem mizbech hayu b'chalal amad v'aracha kachem bedek habayis lo hayu. So because Rabbi Shimon says that the only thing that requires amad v'aracha is only kachem mizbech and not kachem bedek habayis, and this squarely falls under the category of kachem bedek habayis, and that's why even though it's dead, you're allowed to redeem it. Kidit nan, and the Gemara quotes our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Damer kachem bedek habayis imesu yipadu. Okay, umode Rabbi Shimon b'ba mum mikaro shenifte. Now Rabbi Shimon says that if it's b'ba mum mikaro, so Rabbi Shimon would agree that you could be poda. My time and I'm a crow. So salamute b'ba mum mikaro, because of the word osa, like we saw in yesterday's daf. Remember, we went over extensively how both Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim would darshan the pasuk. According to Rabbi Shimon, he understands that the pasuk is talking about bedek habayis. I'm sorry, the pasuk was talking about mizbeach to the exclusion of bedek habayis. And when we had the word osa, what's osa coming to be memait? Ma'mum ikaro. Ava chachamim omrim, afilu ba'mum ikaro, ayu b'chalal amad v'aracha. But the chachamim, on the other hand, would say that if it started off with a ba'mum ikaro, so that is included in amad v'aracha. Okay, so where are we right now? A little bit stuck. Why? Because we said in the beginning of the entire sugya that if it's a ba'mum ikaro, and then you were makdish it, so then we have full agreement between the chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, that there's no requirement of Hamad Varacha. Meanwhile, over here, after having learned the Mishnah Becharos, and then with the statement of Rav Yehuda, that Amarav, which is that this is only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, it sounds like the opinion of the Rabbi Shimon to the exclusion of the Chachamim. And it sounds like what we're saying now is that according to the Chachamim, even though it starts off with a blemish, and then you are makdish it, sounds like under those circumstances, you cannot redeem it. And that, of course, becomes a problem because we started off the whole discussion saying that in such a scenario, everyone agrees that you can redeem it. So Amalei Man Chachamim Tan Debei Levi. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I'll suggest. When it says the Chachamim, it doesn't mean the generic position of the Chachamim, but specifically Tan Debei Levi. Yahachi Zu Devei Rabbi Shimon V'Su Lo Zu Devei Rabbi Shimon Amachlu Kasumi Ba'Elei. So the Gemara says, okay, but you send us off on a little bit of a detour. Because you said that that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And meanwhile, what you really meant was that's the opinion of the Rabbi Shimon and that of the Chachamim as well. Why would you say it's only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? So Amalei Haidalo Katani Hachim Mishim Rav Savalak Rabbi Shkaresh Lakish. So the Gemara says he didn't want to say that because Rav, who is the one who explained the Mishnah Bechoros, he himself subscribes to the viewpoint of Resh Lakish. And that is that according to the Chachamim, Kachim Bedek Abayis is included in Mahamad of Aracha, Kachim Izbech lo hayu. Bereisha Katani la v'imesu yipadu, v'sefa Katani imesu yikbaru. And the Mishnah over there says that if it is dead, you redeem it. The Mishnah also says over there, if it's dead, it's to be buried. Meaning that the Mishnah over there sounds much more like the Chachamim than that of Rabbi Shimon. So to simply say that that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon and in total, well, that would be problematic because, according to Rav, he subscribes to Reish Lakish's view of the Chachamim, not Rav Yochanan's view of the Chachamim. So, therefore, it is difficult, challenging to explain the Mishnah in such a manner. That's one possibility. V by Sam, the Gemara gives another one, which is Rav Kareb Yochanan's fairly. No, that really Rav holds like Rav Yochanan. His understanding of the Chachamim, Udekakashalach Zudev Rabbi Shimon Amachu Kasumi Bailei, Ema Achinami. And that's what he meant. He meant that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. He meant, and on top of that, also the opinion of the Chachamim as well. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so, just to summarize, the Gemara for a moment thought that when the animal, and then you were makdish it, and then the animal dies, so we said at the beginning of the entire Sugya Divrei Hakol, according to everybody, such an animal could be redeemed, both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Shimon, because since it had a blemish before you were makdish it, it's just Eitz Ba'ama, just basically your makdish a piece of wood, and so therefore there's no requirement of Hamad of Aracha. And what the Gemara concludes is basically that's right. That's where we started is where we ended. The comment of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, this is only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Sounds like that the Chachamim would disagree with that. The Gemara gave a couple of answers, but the second answer is the Chachamim don't disagree with that. Okay, I can. That takes us to the end, and now we are at the final Mishnah of both the Perek and the Masechta. The Mishnah over here talks now about the following. So now you have an animal that is unredeemable. So the animal is unredeemable, so what we need to do is we need to dispose of it. And for that matter, many times in the Masechta we talked about animals that require disposal. Animals that are karbanos that are just simply no longer good, and it requires a disposal. How do you properly dispose of a karban? And for that matter, it's not just limited to karbanos. Any time in halacha where the halacha demands that, we're not allowed to get benefit from it, and so therefore we need to dispose it. Well, so what is proper method of disposal? So how do we properly take out an item, remove it, so that I don't want to get ahead of myself. But basically, I can't enjoy this item anymore. I need to get rid of it. What's the proper method of getting rid of it? What we're going to learn together in the Mishnah is that there are two methods of disposal. One, kvura, bury it. Two, sreifa, burn it. And what we're going to learn together in this Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara is that they are both valid methods of disposal. However, the burning is going to be only for a list of certain items, and the burial is going to be a list for done for a certain list of other items. What we're not going to see together in the Mishnah, quite frankly, nor in the Gemara as well, is why burn versus bury. Why bury versus burn. Now, we're going to get hints and allusions to the idea of why one over the other, but I'll show you a Tosfos in just a moment after we go through the Mishnah together. Elohina Nikbarim. The Mishnah starts off with the items that are to be buried. One, Kachem Shehipila Yikburu. A carbon that aborted a fetus. So, Rachmanis, it did not give birth to a viable offspring, but rather it aborted. So that aborted fetus now, on one hand, has Kedusha. On the other hand, what am I going to do with it? Right? It's obviously you can't offer it. It can only offer it if it is a viable carbon. This is not. Yet it has Kedusha. It needs to be disposed of. What do? Bury it. Two. Hipilu shilya tikaber. What if it gives birth to a placenta? We didn't find the actual fetus itself. We found just the placenta. The Gemara throughout Shas assumes that whenever we see a placenta and we don't have the fetus, we assume that the fetus dissolved and went in, absorbed into the placenta. So therefore, what the placenta therefore has is remnants of the fetus. Since the fetus is kedusha and needs to be disposed of, this placenta also needs to be disposed of. Number three, shoran iskal. An animal that killed a person, so that animal is destined to die. That animal after death is asr be'achila, asr be'hana'a, not allowed to eat it, not allowed to benefit from it. It needs to be buried. Number four, egla rufa. Egla rufa, go through the process of the egla rufa mentioned in Parsha Shoftim. So after you go through the procedure and decapitate the calf is to be buried. Number five, tzipare mitzora. The birds of the mitzora, day one of the purification process of the mitzora requires two birds. One will be shechted and the blood of that bird will be sprinkled on the mitzora and the other one will be let go free. The one that was shechted, it's not a karban. This procedure is done outside the azara, but yet the mitzvah was done and after the mitzvah is done and you cannot get benefit from that bird, so it requires burial. Number six, se'ar nazir. The hair of a nazir needs burial. Now that's a little bit strange. We all thought that the hair of the nazir needs to be put under the pot and burnt, being burnt under the pot where the Zorah B'Shela, where the cooked foreleg of the carbon of the nazir is placed. And our Mishnah is telling us it needs to be buried. That's confusing. The Gemara is going to raise that question. Number seven, Petra Chamor. If I have a... If I have a firstborn donkey that has Kedusha, we learned back in Becharos, the solution is very simple. It's the first parak of Becharos. So, poda al hasa, you redeem it with a sheep. Now, what if you don't redeem it with a sheep? Ve'arafto. So then you decapitate in the back of the neck. Post-decapitation, what do I do with the Petra Chamor? So then you bury it. That's what we're learning together now in our Mishnah. Number eight, basa b'chalav. If I have meat cooked together with milk, so that meat and milk cooked together is asr b'achila and asr b'hana. So you can't eat it, you can't benefit from it. What do? Bury it. Number nine, chulin shenishchetu b'azara. If I have something which is non-consecrated that was brought into the azara and shechted in the azara, so that too is going to be disqualified and therefore demand a burial. Rabbi Shimon Amar, chulin shenishchetu b'azara yisrefu, v'chein chai shenishchetu b'azara. Rabbi Shimon dissents on this last point. Rabbi Shimon says that if I have chulin that was shechted in the azara, it does not require burial, but rather requires shreifa. Even if I have a chaya that was shechted in the azara, that too, even though obviously the chaya is a species, a type that is not eligible for the mizbeach, yet according to Rabbi Shimon, that is going to require shreifa. Okay, so that was a list of all the things that are to be buried as opposed to burnt and incinerated, and we came up over there with a list of nine items. Now let's go over the other list. Elu hayna nasrafin, and these are the things that are subject to be burnt. Chametz bePesach yisareif, so chametz prior to Pesach needs to be burnt. Two, truma tameya. If I have truma that becomes impure, so that truma needs to be burnt. We'll talk more about that in both in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. Arla, the arla that comes off of a tree, the fruit that comes off of a tree, the first 3 years after it's planted, so that fruit is also b'achil b'ana, that needs to be burnt. Number four, kalai hakerem. The kalai hakerem, if I have a vineyard where I plant other fruits in that vineyard, other grains in that vineyard, so then that vineyard now becomes kalayim, not allowed to eat any of the growth of that field, and that has to be not only asr b'achila, but also asr b'ana as well. And therefore, what happens to it? It has to be burnt. Now, for all of these items mentioned over here, why burnt as opposed to buried? The answer actually is very simple, but it is a simple answer. It is not an answer that is based on any kind of svara or rationale. The answer is because the Torah says so. In other words, by all the items that were mentioned over here, the only four items that need to be burnt that are mentioned in the Mishnah, although we will come across other items as well in the upcoming portion of the Mishnah, but the answer is actually pretty simple, Torah says so. Now, the Torah says that you have to burn chametz. The Torah doesn't say it. So, if you remember back in Pesachim, we said in the beginning that and the Gemara is going to make this point very clear as well. Our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that chametz on Pesach needs to be burnt. He learns that based on a limud. But let's say, for example, Truma Temeah. So Truma Temeah, so there, The reason why you burn it is because by Truma Tameya, the Kohen's actually allowed to get benefit from the Truma Tameya while it's being burnt. We'll talk more about that in a little bit as well. Klai HaKerem, that needs to be burned. Why? Pen Tikdash Hamaleya. Pen Tukad Eish. There, we have basically a drush in the Pasuk. That once we have Kalayim, so the Torah says that it needs to go in a fire. Meaning it needs to be incinerated. And as far as Arla is concerned, Rashi points out, Arla is learned from Kalayim. To put it simply, the default disposal of an item is burial, unless the Torah says burn it. Okay. But the truth of the matter is, that gets us only so far. Meaning, so now we know that the rule is bury unless the Torah says burn. And then the question is, well, why? Why would the Torah say in these particular scenarios, burn it, as opposed to bury it? Take a look at the Bam Tosus on the Samud. Hanisrafim Afram Mutar V'nikbarim Afram Aser Tzarech Ion Taima Mai. Well, the Tosus over here is making reference to a girsa that he had, that the distinction, the fundamental distinction between that which is buried versus that which is burnt, is something which is buried. If we were to have burned it, its ashes would be prohibited. If something that is burnt, its ashes are permitted. So that means to say, right, we're thinking this through. So that means to say that the reason why burial is required is because if we were just to have burnt it, we would still violate the issue of getting benefit from the ashes. Now, it's a little bit strange because once you reduce something to ashes, so that's shinui. That's something where the ashes no longer represent the original item that once was. And yet, under these circumstances where the Torah demands burial, it must be that the item is so prohibited that even the ashes themselves also are going to be prohibited as well. Tzarech Iyun, Tosus writes over here in the bottom, Tosus on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Tzarech Iyun, Taim Amai. Why should that be? V'omer Moria, he quotes one of the earlier Balei Tosos. Dinisraf and Kevin should see Vakasal of Sarfan, Acher Shasa, Ki Ilu Nasa Mitzvaso. Vein Lechadavish and Nasa Mitzvaso, Umo Alambo. Hachanami Kevin Shanasa Mitzvaso, Halach Isureha. So Tosus gives a beautiful explanation. He says like this. He says, look, once the Torah instructs us to burn it, that by definition means that post-burning, the ashes become permitted. It's like, I mean, we're going to see this idea coming up in the upcoming Gemara. It's like once the Torah says, here's what you do, achar mitzvah, so once the mitzvah has been performed, so that means now that mission accomplished, and whatever's left, we're allowed to get benefit from. So it's interesting. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says burn it, that is also implied in that statement that once you burn it, the ashes become permitted. But if the Torah does not say burn it, but just simply the Torah says we need to dispose of it, we need to get rid of it, that's why burial is going to be required, because if we just burned it, still the item is extant, albeit in an ash state, but the item is still extant, and then you're not allowed to get benefit from it all. Okay, that is Tosus's explanation of why burning versus burial, and specifically why the ashes of that which is burnt is mutter, and the ashes of that which is buried is going to be aser. It's not a mitzvah to bury. The mitzvah is just simply to dispose of it. Burial is just simply a very effective way to do so.
The ashes are permitted afterwards.
So the ashes would, well, if you bury it, there are no ashes.
Could you throw in the sea?
I assume the answer is yes. The Mishnah, we're back to the Mishnah, we're continuing in the Mishnah. So far we mentioned four items that need to be burned. Chametz on Pesach, Truma Tameya, Arla, and Klai Karen. Now, Eshedarkal Yisrof, Yisrof, Eshedarkal Yikavir, Yikavir. Now, by Truma Tameya, or for that matter, Arla, Klai Karen, so you can't burn everything. Let's say, for example, right, Rashi says we're talking specifically about Arla and Klai Karen. So if it's food, that you could burn. If it's a liquid, you can't burn a liquid. So even by Arlen Klai Kerem, if it's in liquid form, so then you have to just simply bury it. You can't, just burning is just not an option. Umalikim bepasiv v'shemen shel truma. Now, if with your truma tameya, let's say you have oil that's truma tameya, and you want to burn it, so with that, you can heat up your oven with that. You can shemen shel truma with the oil of truma. You can use it for illumination. Meaning, as we said, but here the Mishnah says it very clearly, when it comes to Truma Tameya and you're burning it, you are allowed to get benefit from it even during the burning. Other things that need to be burned as opposed to buried, and that is, an animal that was disqualified via pigel. If a Kohen, while doing the avoda of a carbon, does pigel, has a machshava of how he's going to consume the carbon either beyond its prescribed time or beyond its prescribed place, that carbon now is disqualified with the disqualification of pigel, therefore needs to be disposed of specifically through burning. Number six, one on the top of Lamed Aleph, Aleph, Asham Talui, Yisaref, once you give an Asham Talui, so that Asham Talui needs to be burnt. What do you mean? Does it need to be offered? It's a carbon. We're going to be discussing Asham Talui extensively in the next Masepta. In Krisis, Krisis is going to be a wonderful time to discuss Asham Talui. You'll see why. But meanwhile, what does the Mishnah mean? You burn it. Burn it. You offer it. So Rashi over here points out, top Rashi in the Amud, Im Shachtu V'Konim Zrikas Damo Noda Lo Shalo Chatam. You bring an Asham Talui in a scenario where I may have sinned. I ate a piece of fat. Now that fat could have been chalev, it could have been shuman, I don't know. I just simply don't know. And I forensically, there's no way for me to find out. Right now it seems like I'm just in a state of, I may have violated Nisr Torah, and not just any Nisr Torah, but Nisr Kares, which we're going to go over all 36 of them tomorrow morning when we start with Masech Krisos. So under those circumstances, if a person possibly violates Nisr, and Nisr Krisos, so then the Torah affords him an opportunity to bring a special carbon. It's called an Asham Talui. Over here, we're talking about a scenario where he offered his Asham Talui, meaning he shechted it. He was about to sprinkle the blood, and drama. Somebody runs into the Beis HaMikdash and says, it wasn't chalef. It was shuman. It was totally permissible. You're totally fine. So under those circumstances, so the Kohanim say, okay, we'll stop. What, aren't you just sprinkle the blood? No, we're not going to sprinkle the blood because we know that this carbon is no longer needed whatsoever. Okay, fine. So under those circumstances, what do we do with our Asham Talui? Now we're learning together. Under those circumstances, you start if you burn that Asham Talui. Rabbi Yehuda Amri Kaver, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says that Asham Talui is to be buried, not burnt. Chatas Ofa Bala Safek, if a Chatas bird is coming because of a Safek, let's say, for example, a woman gave birth and she does not know. Unfortunately, what came out of her is not identifiable as being human, non-human, or we simply do not have the discharged fetus, and we do not know if it, in fact, requires a carbon leida. So under those circumstances, you bring the carbon, but the Kohanim do not eat the carbon, but rather it gets burnt. Tisa Reif. Rav Yehuda Amar Yet Lenu La'ama. Rav Yehuda says, you don't have to burn it, you could just put it through the canal. There is a sewage canal that runs through the Azara, and so for many of the things that are remains in the Beis HaMikdash, let's say, for example, the blood that's poured on the Mizbeach, so it goes through the sewage system, and it goes out of the Azara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the same thing can be done with the Chatas bird that cannot be eaten by the Kohanim. Kol HaNikbarim Lo Yisrafu V'Kol HaNisrafim Lo Yikbaru. The Mishnah over here says, look, we just gave a list of items that are to be buried, not burnt. We just gave a list of items that are to be burnt, not buried. And never the twain shall meet. If it's supposed to be buried, don't burn it. If it's supposed to be burnt, don't bury it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Imratzal Achmel Atzmo Lisrof Es HaNikbarim Rashai. So Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person would like to be machmer upon himself to burn that which is something, to burn something that which is supposed to be buried, he's permitted to do so. Amar lo, eino mutal lishanos, and the Chacham's response to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Eino mutal lishanos, one cannot deviate.
We had previously that items being destroyed, like coins or avodah zarah, got thrown to Yamamela. Is that an organic, inorganic function?
Right. Why? No, certainly not, because of the items that are mentioned over here in the Mishnah. We're talking about items, oh, I see. In other words, you're saying, you're making your distinction. I'm following you now. You're making the distinction between items that are mineral versus vegetable. Yes. Right. Uh-huh. Good observation. I don't know. Okay. Really good observation. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, starting the Gemara, I should say. Before doing so, just one more Rashi to take a look at. Kol HaNisrafim Lo Yikbaru. Something we learned in the Mishnah, the rule that if it's to be burnt, you can't bury it. If it's buried, you can't burn it. Now, Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes the second last Rashi on the Mishnah. Kol HaNisrafim Lo Yikbru, Dilma Asi Inish V'Ishkach Lehu V'Acholeh. Because this Rashi, what's going to happen is that if it's something which should have been burnt, if you bury it, another person may come along, dig it up, and he may end up eating it. Now, it's buried, by the way, so that doesn't sound so delicious. But if you think about this Rashi, so you realize, is that the problem? I mean, the problem is a gzeira. Rabbi Kiva Eger, and as Gilgal Hashas over here points out, isn't the problem slightly more fundamental? Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, Kashuli, Lamait Sarech Taimelezeh, Kevin de Mitzvasa Besreifa, Pshita Dolei Kavir, Levato Mitzvasa. Why can't we just say, simply say more fundamentally? For all the items that are to be burnt, as we learned together in the Mishnah, the reason why we burn them is because the Torah says so. Meaning the Torah goes out of its way to say in all these circumstances that they are to be burnt, not as opposed to being buried. Rashi over here is giving a secondary reason why I shouldn't bury them, because they may get dug up and they may be subsequently consumed. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, say it fundamentally. The reason why we burn it is because that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to burn it as opposed to bury it. And why wouldn't that be the more fundamental, simplistic reason why it is that they're to be burnt as opposed to being buried? Okay, so and obviously a defensive Rashi would be necessary over here. We are going to go on in the Gemara. We start with the Gemara, Seir Nazi Kavir Ramilet Tavi Rav Nachman. Now it's interesting, Rav Nachman had an Eved called Tavi. He spoke about him often. And it's certainly interesting over here that he's dialoguing. Now is he dialoguing with his Eved Kanani? Could be. In other words, that's possible. It's a possibility. Although, it certainly from the context of the Gemara, it sounds like they're in learning, they're in the base medrash. So I'm not sure if this is Tevi as Eved as opposed to another person by the name of Tevi. But it's certainly a weird coincidence that he happens to have an Eved. We know this. He has an Eved by the name of Tevi. Okay. Tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Seir Nazi Kaver V'Rimenu Aor, Igmalo Sit Metzemer B'chor, Bebegid Yidalek, HaBegid Miseir HaNazir U'Petr Chamor B'Sak Yidalek HaSak. So we know that if I have, other things that are mentioned in this Braisa, but of the things that are mentioned in this Braisa, is that if I have Seir HaNazir that gets woven into a Begid, it needs to be burnt. Burnt, not buried. So basically, we have a disagreement between our Braisa and our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that Seir HaNazir is to be buried, and in the Braisa, it says it's to be burnt. Now, just to cover all the items of the Braisa says, Malo Asit Mitzemer Bechor, the hair of a Bechor. Malo Asit is just simply a linear measurement. Rashi describes it as the distance between the thumb and the finger, and the perhaps the first finger. But that's the hair of the Bechor, and the Mishnah, the Braisa over here describes Tzemer Bechor, the Seir Nazir, Petr Chamor, right, which we also know as Asur Bana. So in all these circumstances, if the hair of these items of Isser get woven into a fabric, the fabric has to be burnt. So Amalei, Kan B'Nazir Tamir, Kan B'Nazir Tahor. So the Gemara says, okay, but the distinction actually is pretty straightforward. If we're talking about Nazir Tamei, meaning the Nazir that becomes Tameh and needs to now reboot and restart the process of Nazirus. So his hair that he cuts off, that hair is going to be Asur Bahana. And under those circumstances, that hair is to be buried. Mashenkin, when it comes to the Nazir Tahur, who has successfully concluded his Nazirus, so his hair is in fact going to be put under the pot and to be burnt under the pot, that hair is going to require Sreifa and not Kavura. Amalei Shanis Nazir Nazir, Petach Hamor, Kasha. So he says, good, that was a really good explanation and a good answer. But that only answers up for Nazirus. What about Petach Hamor? Because the discrepancy also exists in the Petach Hamor. In the Petach Hamor we learned in the Mishnah, it's one of the items that are to be buried. It is the seventh item mentioned in our Mishnah. And meanwhile, in this Braisa we just learned together, Petach Hamor is to be burnt. And you don't have a way of resolving that issue. So Ishtik v'lo amalei v'lo midi. And that's absolutely correct. He was quiet. He didn't have a response for Petach Hamor and the discrepancy of Petach Hamor. So amalei midi shmi alach baha. So he says, have you heard anything regarding this matter? So amalei hachi amar av sheshet kam besak kam beseyar. So the Gemara makes a distinction between a sackcloth versus the actual hair. Rashi writes over here, kam besak hadikani yidalei kainu sha'arek seyar nazir upetach hamor besak. So there we wove it into a garment or into a bag. Under those circumstances, now that I made it into a finished product, explains Rashi, so it's going to be around for some time, and it's not going to disintegrate for some time. So, as opposed to the Mishnah, which is just talking about the actual hair that was not woven into a garment or into a bag. So under those circumstances, that could be a way of distinguishing between the two. It Marnami, the Gemara says, and you know what? Good answer. Amar Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, kan b'sak, kan b'seir. We can make this distinction between sak versus seir. Again, by sak, if I bury it, it'll be around for a long time. Someone's going to dig it up. By the way, it's like the Rashi we saw back in the Mishnah. So someone's going to dig it up and make usage of it. So therefore, the best thing to do over there is to burn it, as opposed to the actual hair itself that you could bury. Rabbi Lazar Amar Kan Benazir Tar Kan Benazir Tame. Rabbi Lazar goes back to the previous answer that we gave. Again, the answer that only answers up the distinction, the differentiation between a hair of the Nazir, where sometimes it's buried, sometimes it's burned. It's buried when it is Nazir Tame. It's burned when it's Nazir Tahor. So Amrle Levatel Sak Beruba. So the question now is as follows. If I have one strand of hair that is prohibited, that gets woven into a larger fabric. So why don't we say Bittel Barov? So Amra Papa Bitsi Parta. So Rav Papa says, that's a good question, but I also have a really good answer. And that is that it's not lost in the fabric, but rather we, with this one hair, so we embroidered a design of a bird. The Gemara is very specific. We embroidered a design into the bag, and that's why it's not Bittel Barov, because I know exactly where it is. The obvious question. You know exactly where it is, so then go get it. So it's the part of Lishlefinu. Okay, fine. So that Seyar Nazir, that I embroidered into the bag, so it's not Bittel because it's right there, so simply take it out. Am Rav Yirmiyah Hamani Rav Yehuda Hi Da'amar Im Ratzal HaHachmei Latzmo Litzrof Esanikbarim Rashai. Well, maybe the reason why is because we have an opportunity to be Machmer. Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah says that if a person wants to burn something that needs to be buried, so by all means, he has the right to do so. Now, then answer, the Gemara is not satisfied. Amalei, kakashya lan lishlefinu va'at makmalei k'Rav Yehuda? You really misunderstood our question. Meaning, we're talking about just simply removing this or from the beged. You're talking about burning as opposed to burial. I'm saying neither is necessary. Just remove the hair that you know is the aser hair. So, hachi kamina im efer lishlefune mutav. V'im lav ukme k'Rav Yehuda damarim imretzal hachme latzma litzrof. So then as a clarification, he says, look, I'm with you. If you know where the hair is, that's aser, and you could just simply remove the hair, by all means do so. I'm simply saying that if that's not an option, and you want to bury it because you want to subscribe to the Shita of Rav Yehuda, you may do so. Okay. Elon and Nisraf, and now we get move on to the Mishnah, to the items that are to be burned as opposed to being buried. The Mishnah starts off, Chametz bePesach Yisareif. So chametz on Pesach is to be burned. So some la tana ke Reb Yehuda. Our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Reb Yehuda. Damar ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. We learned back in the beginning of Pesachim a machlokas in terms of what is the proper method of chametz disposal. We know that on Pesach we are to get rid of all of our chametz, aside from there being an isser of chametz ownership. Well, aside from there being an isser of chametz achila and a chametz benefit, there is also an isser of chametz ownership. The Torah says, Tashbitu, that you have to get rid of all the chametz prior to Pesach. How do you get rid of it? So the simplest way to get rid of it is just simply take it out of your house. Right? Hand it over to the garbage man. Let him dispose of it. Rabbi Yehuda over there in Pesachim says, no, the way to get rid of it is to burn it. Now, what do we do nowadays? We burn it. But not because we're actually subscribing to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. If that were so, we would be taking all of our chametz and we'd be burning all of our chametz. We burn just simply a symbolic amount. In other words, just to remind ourselves of the position of Rav Yehuda, but we don't passen like Rav Yehuda. But okay, but anyway, our Mishnah, let's say it simply, our Mishnah does subscribe to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Shuma Tameya V'ha'arla Ha'ketzad Ochle Mesrefa Mashkin B'Kvura. We saw this back in the Mishnah. We said this back in the Mishnah. But when I said we said this back in the Mishnah, it was not super clear. Here in the Brisa, it's super clear. We said that when it comes to Arlan Klai Karen, sometimes it's burnt, sometimes it's buried. If it's a food and you can burn it, burn it. If it's a liquid and you cannot burn it, so then bury it. Okay. Chatzas ha'of, Tanyam Rav Yehuda, Chatzas ha'of, Habala, Safik, Itlenu La'ama. If I have the chatas ha'of that is coming on a case of suffik, we gave the description back in the Mishnah. The woman gave birth and she does not know whether that which she gave birth to demands the carbon yoledes or does not demand the carbon yoledes. Under those circumstances, she'll bring her carbonos in the event that she's required to do so. Because remember, the carbon over there is a machshir. It allows her to go back into the azara. If she does not bring the carbon, she can't go back into the azara. So on the chance that she's required to bring the carbon, she'll do so. On the other hand, the kohanim are not going to be eating it because we don't know for sure that carbon is required. What do I do with the bird, the chatas bird? So what we do with it is, well, we learned in the Mishnah, machlokas, in terms of what to do with it. So one shita in the Mishnah is to burn it, and the other shita is to put it in the sewage that runs through the azara. That's the amah. So the Gemara over here quotes a Braisa that describes Rav Yehuda's position a little bit better. If you think about it, it's kind of hard to understand. We're talking about a bird. Granted, these birds are small, but to put it in the little canal that runs through the azara, meaning how is that disposal? Right? Isn't somebody on the other side of the canal just going to simply pick it up? So the Gemara over here gives slight more description. So chata zofa bala safik yidlin la'ama uminachta ever, you cut up into pieces, vizarkan la'ama, and you throw into the ama. Umitgagel v'holech la'nachal kidron. Now it goes to the Nachal Kidron. Now the Gemara's description over here is mitgagel, it rolls into Nachal Kidron. Presumably the assumption is that by the time it gets there, it will be totally disintegrated. Kol nikbarim lo yisrafu. My time shim nikbarim afram asav nisrafim afran mutter. Now this we already saw back in Tosfos when we finished the Mishnah, but here the Gemara says, those items that need to be buried, it's because the item is going to be asr, even if it were reduced to ash. The ashes would be asr. Masha einkin, when it comes to the items that are burnt, once they're reduced to ash, those ashes are mutter. Vinikbarin afram asr v'atanya. So the Gemara says, what about the following braisa? Damanido basar amesh nifrchu tahorin. That if I have the blood of a nida, which is asr, in other words, it's an avatoma, and it's also going to be asr as well. Basar ames, again, avatoma, and it's going to be asr. Once it's nifrach, once it crumbles, so then it's tahor. So my love tahorin umutarin lo tahorin v'asurin. So interesting. So what we're doing now is we're making the following split. On one hand, the fact of the matter is that it's no longer going to be an avatoma because the avatoma, it needs to be an organic matter that is still hydrated and has, you know, not obviously not life, but at least it needs to be the remains of a human. But once it gets to the point of dust and disintegration, let's just say dust, so then it's no longer going to be an avatoma. That's true. At the very same time, it's still usser. So in one status, the status of tumah is removed, but on the status of isser, the status of isser remains. Meisra Pinchas olas ha'of shenismatzeh dama. So the olas ha'of where the blood is to be pushed and squeezed against the mizbeach. Marasava notzah shala yatsa midei mi'ila. So at that point in time, now once the mitzvah has been performed, so the parts of the bird that are removed are no longer subject to mi'ila. My love yasumi de mi'ila umutarin. And again, doesn't that mean that it is no longer subject to mi'ila and it's going to be mutar? And again, the Gemara makes a split. Lo yasumi de mi'ila vasurin. Even though there's no longer an isra mi'ila, but still the isra hana remains. V'nisrafin de'ekta shefra mutar v'atanya, the Gemara says, now, you're telling me that something that is to be burnt, once it's reduced to ashes, the ashes are mutar. Are you right about that? The Gemara says, why don't we consider the following braisa? Kol hanisrafim afram mutar chutz me'efer asherah. The efer dehekte shlo'ol amasr. The efer of an asherah tree that is burnt is going to be asr. That's exception number one. And the efer of hektesh, which is burnt, is going to be asr. Exception number two. The ume'ariv hu delo ka'ariv lu v'tani lahu. So the Gemara says, and just before addressing the answer to the question, so why didn't the braisa put these two together? Why did the Brisa segment them into two separate phrases? So the Gemara says just a pragmatic issue. When it comes to an Asherah can be subject to Bittul. A guy can be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. We discussed this back in Masechta Avodah Zarah. However, something belonging to Hektesh, there's no Bittul by Hektesh. So that's why they were not put together in the same spot. But anyway, Ketani Mias, one of the things we learned together is Efer Hektesh Olam Asr. That the Afer of Hektish now is Usr. So, where are we? A little bit stuck. Because on one hand, we're learning together that something that's subject to Sreifa, once I burn it, Nasim it's Vaso, that's Tosus' language, and therefore, it's Mutter Bahana. That's what we said. And the Gemara said it. But meanwhile, the Braisa just taught us that the Afer of Hektish, once I burn it, the ashes are going to be Usr. That's a problem. Amarami Barchamaka Gondanafla Deleka Batse Hektish Me'aleha. So Kevin Delo Yada Mai Delo Have Inish Delimo Delepuk Afran Lechulin. So the Gemara gives one of two possible answers. Answer number one, we're talking about where the Atse Hektish were burnt, but nobody burned them. A fire broke out in the Beis Hamikdash in the Mizbeach. Right? The Beit HaMikdash is a fire hazard area. Fire is burning there all the time. And so what happened was is that there was disqualified carbon that should have been burnt, and so somebody should have burnt it. Now, if somebody would have burned it, so then the mitzvah would have been accomplished because the mitzvah is to burn it. But a fire broke out, and these items got burnt, but not by any particular individual. And so therefore, the status of its status does not get removed and does not get lifted. The status only is removed and lifted when somebody performs the mitzvah of Sreifa. But if it just happens on its own, so then the status doesn't change, and that's what the Bryce is describing. Now, granted, by the way, it's a dochik. It's really a difficult answer in the Braisa, because reading the language of the Braisa, going back earlier, it says kol hanisrafim afra muter chutz me'efer asher ve'efer dehektesh. And now we are really limiting the case of efer hektesh to a scenario in which a fire broke out and it burnt it, and nobody burnt it. In other words, it's a really unusual case. And it sounds like from the Braisa, the simple reading of the Braisa is that we're going over a fundamental rule. Okay, so it's a difficult answer, but that's one possible answer. A second answer of the Gemara, Rav Shmaya Amar Kitanya Ha Masnisa B'Truma Sadeshen. Tanya. The Bryce's only reference over here that the ashes are going to be prohibited is only specific to the Truma Sadeshen. Daily. What would happen is that the Kohen would go up the first avoda that's done in the morning, and he would take a shovelful of the ashes of the that are on the top of the Mizbeach. There are a lot of ashes, especially in the busy time of the year in the Beis HaMikdash, a lot of ashes on the top of the Mizbeach. But nevertheless, he would take one ashful, he would then drop down, he would walk down the ramp, and he would deposit those ashes on the east side of the ramp. And this is what's called the Truma Sadeshen. Now, regarding the Truma Sadeshen, they're ashes. I mean, that's the whole idea behind Truma Sadeshen. And meanwhile, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Dila Olam Aser. These ashes are going to be prohibited. And specific to these ashes, the Tanya, the Samo, the Pasuk says, Parshat Tzav, that you place these ashes next to the ramp, and the Samo, Benachas. So you don't throw the ashes around, very carefully placing them next to the ramp. The Samo, Kulan. You take the full shovelful and you put it next to the ramp. And the Samo, Shalo Yifazer. And you shouldn't spread it out subsequently. Meaning these ashes are going to be Aser and going to remain Aser. And that's what the Braisa here is making reference to. Certainly an answer, by the way, that fits in better to the language of the Braisa. Because here we're saying this is a fundamental rule. The Truma Sadeshen ashes are to be usher indefinitely. Even though they were burnt, and even though Anasa Mitzvaso, nevertheless the ashes are going to be usher indefinitely. That's what the Braisa is making reference to. Any other Hektesh that is going to be burnt, that once you burn it, so then it's going to be Mutter. Okay, that is a second way to resolve the Braisa. Let's quickly recap. We learned this morning, finish up the sugya of Hamad Varacha. Outside of Tan Debe Levi, is anyone of the opinion that if the mum comes before Hekdesh and the animal dies, does it require Hamad Varacha? So we said at the beginning of the sugya, no. We said at the end of the sugya, no. Outside of Tan Debe Levi, meaning nobody in such a circumstance has a requirement of Hamad Varacha. Then the Mishnah we went through gives us a list of things that are to be disposed of. And the Mishnah there says that certain things are to be buried, certain things are to be burnt. The distinction is very simple. The Torah, if the Torah doesn't say anything, but rather you're not allowed to get benefit from it, burial. If the Torah, however, gives us instruction to burn it, so then burn it. So and as we learned back in Tosfos, that distinction becomes very important, because if the Torah says burn it, the Torah is also saying that once the mitzvah is done, so then you're allowed to get benefit from the ashes. We address some of the cases that are discussed in the Mishnah. Discrepancies between our Mishnah and other Mishnayos, the Gemara resolved those discrepancies. And then we finished up the discussion with, once you burn it, the ashes are mutter. The Braisa says that the ashes are going to be aser. So we gave two answers to that Braisa. One, the Braisa is talking about an unusual circumstance where the fire broke out. Two, the Braisa is talking about Truma Sadeshen. And so is the end of Masechta Temura.